Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
And I've said this before, God is incessantly speaking. God is constantly speaking. He's constantly talking. And I heard this week. The voice of God or Jesus is all that is needed to the person who is listening. Just the truth. God is not afraid of using you in an incomplete state. Power, that is his presence, revealed in you, will grow things in you that will need to be pruned by his word. Hear what God says about me, that I am his son, I am an heir of the promise of God, I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's time to kick my poor attitudes and low self-esteem in the pants and start thinking about myself the way God thinks about me. I need to love me properly so that I can love my neighbor as myself. Let's catch that for a moment. We have been given the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit, and we therefore can know what God is thinking for us and those whom we speak to concerning the things of God. This one was a bit tough. Unity is unified with all those who are unified with God, not necessarily one another. I am in unity with all those who are in unity with Father God. Jeremy said, know who you are, and my message this morning is called Hearing His Voice, Know Who You Are. How's that? Somebody was listening to God this week. But you know, God gave me these scriptures this morning, and Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Then in John 14 he says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. He says in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you by my Father. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In another place, in John 16, he says, and in that day you will ask me nothing in the kingdom. But most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Let's just open in prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you today. What we ask today in the name of Jesus is to hear your voice. Reveal to us by your word, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get to my message, I've just got to get this off my chest, and that's ask. and you will receive. Because many of us don't know who we are in Christ, we don't ask. Or we think we're less than we are. I had a meeting on Friday with a gentleman on the coast, and I went in with a particular kind of attitude, a particular viewpoint of who this guy was and the ministry that he was from. And during the conversation, God is going to me, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" He was making a point. I went in with my own little judgment, my own viewpoint of who I thought they were. And by the end of the conversation, I'm thinking, I don't know squat. I'm as thick as two planks end to end. I had no idea what this guy was about. No clue. I had made a judgment call that was completely and utterly and absolutely wrong. I repent, Lord. Sometimes we can make judgment calls on what we see on the outside and what we know, we think we know of people. I heard somebody say somewhere on Facebook this week, I don't know who it was, but somebody said, "Shouldn't I remind somebody of their mistakes that they've made in the past?" You know, that's the truth, isn't it? And God spoke to me. I was just sitting in my new house pondering that last night. It was just running around in my head. And God said to me, "Do I remember your mistakes? Do I pull them out of the bag when we're not agreeing on something and throw it in your face?" And I went, "No, Lord, you don't." He said, "I throw your sins into the sea of forgetfulness and I never remember them again." You know, we pull up stuff and we, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, Diane and I are having an argument. I know you're hard to believe. I'm such a perfect husband. But we try never to go, "Well, you did this then," or 27 years ago, "You did this or that." No, no, we don't bring up the past. The past is dead. If you're forgiven, it's forgiven. It's gone. You can't bring it up again. It's dead. It's gone. It's buried. Anyway, that's my thought on that. I won't dig the hole any deeper. You know, we just got to be forgiving. Got to love one another. Not, you know, I was in another meeting a couple of weeks ago, and there was a leader who. Oh, look, in honesty, God just rubs me up the wrong way. He just does. I'm sorry. I'm human. I'm just humans. He just rubs me up the wrong way. And God just kept saying, "He's only doing what he knows to do. He can't do anything else other than that which he knows. Just pray for him." So now I'm praying for him every day. You know, we can't judge, church. We can't do that stuff. That cannot be part of our DNA. We must have the DNA of God. DNA of God just goes, just forgive them, for they know not what they do. They nail him to a cross. They knew exactly what they were doing. But that's not how Jesus saw it. That's what we would say. They knew they were nailing me to the cross. They knew that they were nailing the Son of God to the cross. We'd be like the disciples. Couldn't we call down fire and just consume the whole city? No, 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 no. It's not the way. It's not the way. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, I feel better now. I've got that off my chest. You know, a lot of Christians just don't know who they are. They're still walking in their past. They're still walking in their old man. If you've been baptized in Jesus Christ, he's dead. You know, it's like trying to walk around with a zombie. You know, like, he's gone. He's dead. Don't keep trying to resurrect him. He's dead. You buried him. In the waters of baptism, he died. You rose again. All things have become new. The old man is dead. He wants to stay dead. Get down. Every time he tries to pull his hand out, get down. Give him a kick. Things that have been said to you in your past. You're not good enough. You don't make the grade. They're lies. We're doing the shopping at 9:30 at night the other night, buying some stuff for the house. And we're talking about this, meeting this gentleman. And I said, oh, man, I just feel so funny about being there. And Diane says to me, what did you say? That's right. It was really important. You feel funny because you don't feel you belong at the table. You're not important enough to be at the table. Yeah? You know, when you're meeting with people that are esteemed. Yeah? And you don't feel that you make the grade. You don't feel that you belong at the table. But we're a new creation. It's not about the numbers in your church. It's not about what you're doing. What you do for a living. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. He rose the dead. Healed the sick. You know what I mean? Like, not that there's anything wrong with being a plumber. You get my point. Your position in life is not your position in Christ. And so many of us are still walking in our old man. He's dead. And then we say things like, yeah, I'll go up to a singer. Man, you sang well today. Oh, that was Jesus. No, look, I know you sing good, but I think Jesus would sing better. I'm sorry. God bless you and all. It's that false humility. It's false. Just say, thank you so much. I receive. See? So many of us, we're happy to give cans. We're happy to give money. We're happy to give. But when somebody wants to give you something, oh no. What, are you too good to receive? Are you too good? We need to be able to receive as well as give. That's why God says, ask and it will be given you, that my Father may be glorified. I want you to capture that just for a second. When you get answers to prayer, God is glorified. Yes. So when you say things like, oh, God wouldn't answer my prayer, that's a lie. That's not true. Your prayers are as important as anyone else's. Your desires are just as important as anyone else's. Your needs are just as important as anyone else's. And God hears you as much as he hears me. If you want to get healed, go and talk to Pete. He'll get you healed. If you want a miracle in your life, go and talk to one of the other people in the church. Don't come looking for me. I'm no special. I'm not above you. I'm not below you. I'm not above you that I would be between you and Jesus. You've got a direct connection. I'm not below you that you can use me as your footstool, like you're putting Christ under your feet. We walk together. If I'm the only one that you can grab hold of to pray for you, I'll pray for you. But you've got a whole church here. Any one of these people can pray. Any one of you. And your prayers is just as effective as mine. Know who you are. Know what God has called you to do and do it. I love what Mary she got it. She just got it, didn't she? In Matthew 5 at the wedding at Cana. They've run out of wine. Yes, so? Like I care. That's really what he says. Like I care. I don't care that they haven't got wine. His mother ignores him and just turns to the servant and says, whatever he says to do, just go and do that. Oh, Mum. Okay, go and get the wash basins and bring them to me and fill them with water. And we know the story. She got it. Whatever he says, do that. He'll bless that. So we do need to hear his voice. We do need to be listening for what God is saying. I'm driving to work the other day and I'm driving down Enterprise Drive and I'm just praying away. Diane wasn't with me. She had a work car. And I'm just praying away and I'm talking about the church. I'm saying, Lord, you know, I want to bless the church. I want to grow the church. I want the church to prosper and grow. And you know, Lord, we need your help. I turn the corner and there's a truck parked on the left-hand side and it says, I'm always here to help.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. The irony was not lost on me. The fact that he knew that I'd be in my car praying that particular prayer on that particular day and a truck happens to be parked around the corner with that particular thing written on it. You know, God is good. And he answers our prayers. 8 weeks ago, we had no chance whatsoever of getting our house. None. And then Diane, you know the story. Diane went off to a youth meeting with Joey and because she's a youth. And God spoke to her in that meeting and said, I'm giving you back your house. And she saw a vision of an old-fashioned brass lock and an opening. A week later, we get a phone call from the real estate saying, you're not going to believe it. They're going to give you your house. Yes, they are. Because yes. God has said. I knew. Once God says, that's it. Once God speaks it, it will come to pass. No ifs, no buts, it will happen. As we're unpacking all of our gear, I put my hand on all of the prophecies that Diane and I have had over the years, all in one box. And I pull them out and I stick them on the kitchen table and I'm thinking, Pete said to me last week or the week before, he said, wage your warfare according to the prophecies you've received, 1 Timothy. So many of us have received words from God. And you say, well, you know, they haven't had... how can I put this? Sometimes we can be seeking God for a new word from God, but he hasn't done what he's already said he's going to do. And he won't do something new until he's completed that which he has already said. Sometimes I hear people say to me, oh, look, I don't hear much from God. What did he last say to you? Do that. Whatever he last said, do that. I heard this week and it struck a chord with me. If you believe you're a sinner, you'll sin by faith. A man is what he believes he is. Proverbs 23:6-7. We need to become mature, church. The day has arrived when Jesus is looking for a mature church. We want to have babies. We want to have our children. We want our new Christians coming in. And we want to teach them the things of God. But we can only teach them that we need to be teaching them maturity, not stupid stuff. We've got to get rid of some of those doctrines that we were once taught that we thought were so real and so true. Most of them aren't. I say it all the time, opinions are like armpits, everyone has them and most of them stink. That's just the way it is. So we've got to get rid of our opinion and pick up the opinion of God. What's God saying? Run with that. You will be what you think you are. There's so many scriptures half read. The other week I preached on the Lord's Prayer and I talked about forgiveness, and there's two scriptures after forgiveness about forgiving. If you will not forgive others their trespasses, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. We skip over that. It's important. Can't skip over those scriptures because the Lord's Prayer is so nice. But even in the Lord's Prayer, he says it. Forgive my debtors as I forgive them who have trespassed against me. He says it. That's really important. Sometimes we think God will forgive me because, you know, I'm me. I'm special. But when we look at someone else, we think, oh, God couldn't forgive that, I'm sure. God surely couldn't forgive that wife-beating husband. God couldn't change a man like that. Why not? You know, God can't save that, you put whatever it is. Why not? See, we put our judgment on what we think God will do. And God says that he has come that none should perish. None. Not the people we like. Not the people who are nice to us. No, that none would perish. We've got to walk in who we are. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. You are not my disciples, you're his. You're not here to follow after Keith. You're here to follow after Jesus. And you're to be his disciple, to be to act as he would act, speak as he would speak, walk as he would walk. He had somewhat to say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why? Because they should have known better. Jesus didn't bring anything new to the table until the cross. Everything that he speaks in Scripture is Scripture. You go and look it up. Everything. Oh, loving your neighbours, not Scripture. My word it is, Deuteronomy 20. But he revealed that which was hidden. And then he spoke it in parables so that they couldn't understand. Think about that. And he kept saying this, he who has an ear, let him hear. The disciples came to Jesus one day and they said, why do you talk to the people in parables? See, we should be able to read through the scriptures, and when he says something hard or he says something that we don't get, we should go to him and ask him about it. rather than just skipping over it. And why did he speak to the people in parables? Because he wanted to get to the people who were willing to listen. See, if you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, you will hear the word of God. Has anybody else had the experience where you've been reading the word and words will jump off the page at you? Have you anyone else had that? And then you'll go to look for that scripture where you're reading and it's not there. Anyone else had that? So then you'll go and research where that is and it's in another place in the Bible. Yeah? Why does that happen? That happens because God wants to reveal his word to us. A, that we would understand who we are in Christ. And so that we would get his word in us. Jesus said this to disciples. He said, the word that I have spoken to you has made you clean. Think about that. When we get his word in us, it makes us clean. That's pretty important. So to hear his voice and to hear his word and to get the voice of God on things is really important. Open your Bibles, if you would, if you've got them, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm just going to... I'll probably only get a little bit into this today, but we'll see how we go. Now, just to go back a little bit about that Lord's Prayer thing, somebody wrote to me, PM'd me and said, do you know, I've read that scripture for years and never seen those two verses before. And it made me start to think. I start to think, well, how interesting is that, that we can read God's word and miss bits? Anyone else found that? And you go and reread a scripture and other bits of, and it's actually written there. I never saw that before. Why didn't I see that before? You know why? Because you weren't ready to see it. Because God's a good father. He'd teach you what you can handle. He'll give you what you can handle. First of all, he gives you milk. Then he gives you soft food. Then he gives you harder food. Until eventually you are mature and you can understand the weightier things of the gospel. That's the kind of church I want to be in. Where everybody walks in the maturity of Christ. They know who they are. They know what they're called to do. And they're doing it. First Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 15. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I just want to highlight something to you. Most of us know that scripture. Most of us have read that scripture. And we carry it into our now and into church future. As if we're going to receive something future that we will understand and see. Can we read the next verse? These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Let's just read that again. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. It's no longer supposed to be for the church a mystery. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. We have both seen and heard the glory which came from heaven, was made flesh, walked among us. It is not a mystery to us. We have seen, we have heard. We do know what God has planned for the earth. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's plan. God's plan is not to wait for all the Christians to die, or like the devil won, so we're all bolting for heaven like a rapture. I don't believe in the rapture at all. It's wrong theology. Well, the devil sort of wins over the earth, so we all have to bolt. No, we're going to kick the gates of hell down, and the heaven is going to come to earth. Because his will be done. His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Catch it, church. God wants his kingdom on the earth. Not us to run as if we've been defeated. You've not been defeated. You've won in Christ. I read the end of the book. We win. These things have been revealed to us by his Spirit. We now do know the things pertaining to God and godliness. We now do know these things. It's in his word. Jesus has spoken them to us. It makes us clean. It makes us righteous. It makes us holy. It makes us good. It fills us full of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness. The fruits. How good is that? The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And guess what you've received? The Spirit of God. So can you know God's thoughts? Yes, you can. And we read an Old Testament scripture that says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. And then we apply it to the New Testament. Bom, bom. No. You've now received the Spirit of God that's in you. Therefore, you can know his thoughts. You can know his voice. You can know what is right and what is not. And you should be able to spiritually discern what is right and what is not. Because you've received his Spirit. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Isn't it amazing how much revelation is in this one chapter? It is phenomenal. We no longer have the spirit of the world in us, but the Spirit that is from God. So that we can understand all that God has given us. Not some of it. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Explaining spiritual realities with spiritually taught words. The revelation does not come by humanly taught wisdom, but words taught by the Holy Spirit to explain to us all that God has for us. You don't need a man to teach you. You could just go to God and the Holy Spirit. John, because he will bring all things to your remembrance. He will be your comforter and he will be your teacher and helper. It is helpful for us to learn off others, of course. But we should take that teaching, that thinking, and put it before God. What do you think about that, God? See, I'm not in church just to consume more sermons. I'm not here just to become, you know, a chubby little Christian. Feed me Seymour, feed me all night long. No, I'm here to do the outworking of the Spirit. And my job is to equip you to do the same. But you come to me with something you want to do for the gospel, you know what I'm going to say? If you've got the vision, you've got the job. You know, can that put me in some scary places? You want to bet it does. Do sometimes people come with an agenda of their own? Oh, yeah. But you know who I trust more than a person's agenda? He'll sort it out. I don't need to control you, manipulate you, coerce you, make you. I don't want to make you feel less than you are. I want you to feel more than you think you are. I want to put God inside of you so that you can do something for God. Freely, openly, freely you've received, freely give. I'm going to crash this plane here, I think. Sorry, Pete. I won't say it again. How's that? I repent. I'm doing a landing. I'm landing this plane. I love you, Pete. You're awesome. You're going to start me laughing in a minute. I tell you, God is just so good. We've got so much in us. We've got so much to give. We've got so much to receive. If I could encourage anything this week, it would be those things. I want to prophesy over you. Janice, isn't it? Janine. I just felt that, you know, that you've sort of been knocked down, like put down, knocked down, but you're actually a roaring lion. It's almost like, it's like the little kitty cat. Like, let's just press the kitty cat, but really you want to take my arm off. It's like, you know, it's like, rah! You know, that's really how you are on the inside. But that's how God made you. Don't be afraid of that. You know, I'm not scared of strong people. You know, I like strong people. Strong people are good. You know, they scare me sometimes. But, you know, that's all good. But I really feel that it's time to put off the old. You know, take the lid off, I think is what God would say. Just take the lid off. And just rise and become who you are, not who other people think you should be. You need just to be you. And you are good enough. In fact, you are more than enough. You know, there's power in you that has yet to be revealed. You know, I can see you doing lots of things, laying hands on the sick. I can see healings, miracles, signs, wonders. I see all sorts of stuff. I see you speaking from a platform big. I see that there's a voice on the inside of you that's been suppressed that needs to come out. And do you know what? some of those things, as you learn, they're going to come out. Anyone knows that your roses will start to grow and they'll grow a little branch out here. Or, you know, God will come along and go, snip, snip, yeah, off that branch will go. And we don't need to be concerned about the pruning of the Lord. He'll prune us. And sometimes you prune us, sometimes it's hard, but it's for our good. And he's not pruning us to kill us. He's pruning us so that we would bear more fruit. See, we often see the pruning of God as a punishment. Oh, God's pruning me. It's a punishment. It's not. He's pruning you to make you stronger. He's pruning you to make you a healthier tree. You know? I know who gave you the words in the journal. But that's the truth of it. That's the truth of it. It's not a punishment. God is pruning you for a bigger and better work. I don't want to use the word better you, because you are seated with Christ in heavenly places already. See, that's a mystery in itself. Do you know we're all sitting with Christ in the heavenlies? Yet we're living here. Huh? Well, I don't get that. But we are, because the Bible tells us we are. So you're already better. I think we're trying to attain to our perfect self. Yeah? Don't be pushed down. Don't be kicked down. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Don't allow people to speak negative into your life. Just don't receive it. I'm not having that. I just don't receive it. I was talking to a guy on the weekend, and he said this stuff to me, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. You know, I'm not having that. No, 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 not having that. I'm smiling at him going, oh, yeah. No, I'm not having any of that. No, thank you. No, thank you. Eventually I extracted myself from him, saying, oh, God bless you, you know, running for the door. You know, sometimes people say stuff to you, think they're blessing you, but they're not. They have another agenda. Don't take on other people's agendas for your life. Don't take on my agenda for your life. I'm not living your life. You're living your life. You find what you're meant to be doing. Find out what he says to do and do it. And he'll bless that. Amen? I love you guys. You're awesome. I just feel that, you know, if you feel that you've been downtrodden, pushed down, kicked down, or you don't even quite know who you are anymore, I want to pray for you this morning. No, I don't want to pray for you. But those who are willing to come and pray, could those who are willing to come and pray for people, would you come up now? Come on, out of your chair, those who are willing to pray for people. If you're willing to pray for someone, yes, if you need to go, feel free to go. Okay, if you feel downtrodden, pushed down, kicked down, you don't even know who you are, or you're wondering who you should be. If that's you this morning, I want you to come forward. These guys will pray for you. And, you know, we want to be the church being the church. Church being the church. If you've got a prayer need of any description, you can come forward and pray. Come forward and pray. Come forward and pray. I'll have them pray. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.